Wow, it's outside the box, ending the Say Yes series in a democratic way. Today's topic is Yes to Democratic Governance. How do we make decisions that include everyone, not just those in positions of power or with economic influence? Or in some cases, how do we prioritize access to decision-making for those who are most impacted or have the least power? Democratic governance certainly includes government, but also workplaces, schools, businesses, and other spaces where people come together. The goal? To solve problems, heal disagreements, and find solutions that meet everyone's needs. Trends today are moving against democratic governance and toward more authoritarian policies, decisions, and regimes. How do we turn that around? I've often wondered how easy it would be logistically to have decisions made by the public electronically, by voting on computer. Taiwan seems to have figured out how to do it, at least in a few instances. Responding to a controversial trade deal in 2014, thousands demonstrated against it, but then used a combination of live meetings and electronic feedback to come up with alternative proposals. The Taiwanese government was intrigued and set up, quote, a process to allow the entire society to engage in rational discussion, end quote. The facilitation process of getting thousands or millions of positions cataloged is still a work in progress, but can be found at info.vtaiwan.tw. An almost opposite approach is the traditional baraza, an East African term for a large in-person community gathering to share information on major issues, make collective decisions, and hold officials accountable for follow-up. Anyone affected can participate, all ages, genders, classes, etc. All perspectives are welcome. Barazas hold no legislative power, but their influence can be huge. They're usually used especially when a community is in crisis. It is direct democracy in its purest sense. One example, after a series of murders in one Ugandan village, a baraza pressured police to investigate and set up night patrols, which ended the murders. Similar gatherings, but under different names, are held in various nations and ethnic groups around the world. About half of all U.S. states have a referendum process for statewide or even more localized decisions. Getting referenda on the ballot is not a slam dunk. Many, many signatures usually have to be collected, and sometimes legislatures can muck up the process. Astronomical spending by one or both sides of the question can influence the vote, but at least all voters have the right to weigh in and determine the result. I've noted citizen, or better yet, civic assemblies in a previous Outside the Box and believe they have great potential for decision and policy making by a more representative group, since most members of assemblies are chosen randomly. These are more diverse than even a citizen-based legislature, which tends to have primarily wealthy or middle-class representation that mostly leaves out half the population that are working class or low income. And have you participated in any New England town meetings open to all town residents where financial and other major decisions are made by majority vote of all residents present? That's another kind of direct democracy in action. Finally, I wonder what our governance would be like if we adopted or adapted the Haudenosaunee or Iroquois Confederacy's matrilineal governance system, where women appointed and could impeach male chiefs. Also, decisions were made by consensus, so no policies were decided by a narrow vote. The governments of the six Native nations that were members of the Confederacy have been described as, quote, the oldest participatory democracy on earth, end quote. Parts of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy were used in designing the Constitution we in the U.S. have now. How are you feeling about the so-called democracy we live under now? And this wraps up our Say Yes series of 10 features. I'm Larry Danziger, trying to encourage direct democracy whenever possible.